second week with my class of special education students that have been such a handful. God has been so good, and I've had at least one student in those classes. What a handful. And we were praying on Wednesday night, and God just did a wonderful thing in those kids. One little guy, he's just turned into my little helper, where he was my little enemy. He could tear up that class, and now he's my little helper, and he runs around and does everything for me, helps clean up. He's a blessing. And that's something that God did. Amen. Amen. Sister Sherry. I'll meet you halfway. How's that?
I just want to say that I am grateful for the body of Christ.
Hold it right up because we can't hear you. Yep.
There was... one time a sister came in my door, and I don't remember the circumstances, but when she came in the door, I felt in my spirit that was the Lord walking in my door to minister to me. And this sister goes around doing good, like what... You know what Jesus did? Spurgeon called that scripture an exquisite miniature of Jesus. We all need to be going around doing good, blessing each other.
Amen. I wasn't taking that out of your hand, Sherry. We just wanted to be able to hear you. Amen. Thank you. I don't know if you were here a few weeks ago when our sister shared. And she said, I have a testimony, it's not very much, but she said, I woke up this morning and I heard the birds singing and it reminded me of the praises of God. And that little testimony keeps coming back to me, and I mentioned it to Carol, and she said, I keep thinking of that too. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. God's creation, that has stayed with me. Praise the Lord. Adam, it's time for the morning announcements. We have a late-breaking announcement, though. Sister Judy, you're going to be so happy. We have been trying and trying and hoping. It has been my fondest desire after a year of COVID that we could have our Easter breakfast. And I tried and tried and called places, and I couldn't get anybody. And Vicky had a friend, and we texted back and forth and back and forth, and I didn't hear anything from any of my sources, and she was in contact, but I didn't hear anything, so I just said, well, I guess we're not going to be able to announce it today. And Vicky ran up to me and said, Dave, my friend thinks she can do it, and let's go for it. So we're going to have Easter breakfast on Easter Sunday. Wahoo! Judy, I thought of you. I thought you would rejoice. Oh, thank God. Judy came to our church how many years ago at Easter breakfast? 31 years ago, and Judy said, I came for Easter breakfast and I never left. So, 9 o'clock Easter morning, we'll be gathering together. We have more details to come. We're still working that out, but I'm happy to say that we get to gather together and invite people to come. Invite them. You know, Easter and Christmas are a couple times where people are just more disposed to come to church. You know, it's just like they think they're supposed to come then more than any other time. Well, if that's how they feel, that's great with me. Come to church. But it gives you a good excuse to invite them. So find people and say, hey, come to Easter breakfast. And then we have a cool service afterward. It'll be awesome. So invite people and believe God to move. Resurrection Sunday can be Resurrection Sunday for people who come and hear about Jesus. Oh, God. Be a great day to come and get saved. And I left all of my stuff over here. Amen. Glory to God. People who have business reports to get to the office, you know who you are. Make sure that you get those. I know that Shay has been putting the little bee in people's bonnet for that, so make sure that you stay with that. Okay, well, we're going to start today in John 15, verse 9. So if you have your Bible and you want to open it or turn it on, today I'm opening it instead of turning on. You can join me for that. John 15 and beginning in verse 9 to 11. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would breathe on your word today. Bring it to life, Father. Help us as we look and stir our hearts, Father, afresh. God, we pray for a fresh stirring of your Spirit. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And as I was praying, I was reminded, we've been praying over Bill HB 5 in the House, the Equality Act, and I'm not exactly sure what the status of all that is, but we want to encourage you to make your voice known to your elected representatives. And my sister Jeannie was very faithful last week, and I forgot to announce it. She had names of all of our representatives out there, and if you want to drop them a line or give them a call, let them know how you feel. They are our public servants, and that is a big deal. And as Christians, we need to make our voice heard. We need to make our voice heard. Amen. All right, back to John 15. That suddenly came to my mind, and I didn't want to forget again. So, as the Father has loved me, as the Father has loved Jesus, that is what I would say is an absolutely incomprehensible subject. I can't imagine. The uncreated, and notice I said uncreated, eternal Son of God has been deeply, immeasurably loved by God from eternity past. Now, I can't even imagine eternity, but when I think of eternity past, what does that mean? Eternity future. That is the deep, abiding love that God had for his Son. And Jesus tells us that that's how he loves us. Wow. That love that God had for Jesus is the same love that Jesus has for you. Now, think about that for a while and not let your brain explode. Just unbelievable how much he loves us. Verse 13 of that chapter that I don't have up there. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus was willing to lay down his life. And the interesting thing about that is that Jesus didn't really lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for his enemies, for the people who were absolutely against him. That's who he laid down his life for. Wow. So, absolutely amazing. That, as the Father has loved Jesus, that is how he loves us. Then we come to verse 10. And verse 10 is interesting. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now this is a curious statement to me. This is kind of one of those if-then statements. And it makes me uncomfortable. It makes me very uncomfortable because it makes God's love sound conditional. Like if, as long as I obey God's commands, he's going to love me. That makes me a little uncomfortable. It makes me think, number one, if I keep his commands, he will love me. Number two, if I'm naughty and I don't keep all his commands or I screw up, he's not going to love me. And we all know the lovely little song, Jesus loves me, this I know, as long as I do what I'm told. And I hope you never sang that version, but the devil will try to sing that version in your ear and put you under condemnation. When Jesus said that, did he then follow it up with a list of commandments that you need to follow? This and this and this and this. Or did he give you a set of rules and regulations that all worthy Christians ought to follow? No! But he did give us one commandment. And it's in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another. But then there's a little phrase at the end of that. It's not on the screen. Actually, it might be on the next. I think I have verse 12 up there, Adam. And why don't you? Yep. Just as I have loved you. Very important that that last little phrase get in there. That's very, very important. Because that means that Jesus, how did Jesus love us? It was a sacrificial love. It was a sacrificial love. It was completely giving of himself. And frankly, I can't love people like that unless God helps me. So how am I going to keep that command? God won't love me. Well, could I play with this verse just a little bit? And I'm trusting that I'm not taking liberties with the scripture. Jesus, I think, could have as easily have said, if you abide in my love, you will keep my commandments, as much as he said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Because only as we abide in his love can we keep his commandments, and we can only love others as he commands, as we abide in his love. It's got to be a work of God. It has to be a work of God in our hearts. As we abide in him, he gives us the grace to be able to love other people. Because frankly, otherwise, I couldn't love any of you. No, you couldn't love me. It'd be more like it. Oh, God, help us. Because we know who we are. And without the grace of God, we need his help to be able to unconditionally and sacrificially give ourselves for one another. Verse 12, as I have loved you, and Jesus meant that in a sacrificial way. God's love was manifested to us in two ways through Jesus. Number one, in 1 John 4:9, and Adam, you can click that. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So God was willing to take his own Son that he dearly loved, dearly and deeply from eternity past, and give him to the world. And then secondly, Ephesians 5:2, Jesus, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So God was willing to completely release his Son. Jesus was willing to completely release himself. And that is how we are to love one another. And there's only one way to do that. And that is by being willing to completely give yourself first to God before you can give yourself to people. Romans 12:1, very important scripture. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice he didn't say present your money. He didn't say present your talent. He didn't say present your time or your abilities. God wants your body. He wants your body. Because he knows if he gets that, he gets everything else. And the Jews understood Paul's imagery here because the Jewish sacrificial law was a very, I don't know how else to say it, a very bloody law. They would offer up 12 bulls and 15 calves and 11 sheep and so many doves. And you start thinking about all of the sacrifices on the altar and all the blood that flowed. They knew exactly what he meant when he said, present your body a living sacrifice, because the things that went up on that altar did not come back down off that altar alive. They went up there to die. And now our sacrifice on the altar doesn't mean our physical death, but it does mean our death to ourselves. And that is the only way that we can be able to do what Jesus did and give ourselves away. I heard a really interesting quote this week by Andy Park, a famous preacher. He said, a person's life is not measured by what they had. A person's life is measured by how much they gave away. And he's not talking about money, how much they gave away. And if you want your life to count for something, then put it on the altar like Jesus did and start investing it into people. Start investing it into other people's lives and give yourself away in that way. This kind of thing shows up most at funerals. You know, when the person has passed away and somebody is standing up in front and recounting their life, and suddenly you hear about this person who invested in this person and that person and helped this person and did this for that person, and suddenly you find out a life that was given away and the inestimable value of that, and how wonderful a person is that can do that. John 12:24, Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. And that was speaking of Jesus. He's saying, I'm going to have to die. I need to be planted in the ground to bring forth fruit. But that speaks to us too. When we get planted in down into the ground, when we get to that altar and we put ourselves out and say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to die for other people, that's when the life of Christ comes alive and suddenly something starts working in you that wasn't there before. It's the life of God enabling you to be that way. Because it's really not dead, but the life can't come out until it's planted. And so if I could say giving of yourself to others, I think of it as more of an investment. And what is that? Is that me? This is off. That one's off. I don't know. I think constructive interference. I hope it's constructive interference. Those of you who were here last week, you'll get that. Touché. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, he who sows sparingly will reap also sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap also bountifully. And when you're willing and able to give yourself away and invest yourself in other people, that's how Jesus loved us. And then we come to the really good part. Do you want the really good part? This is the best part. Verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. What was Jesus' joy? What was he talking about? In just a few chapters, Jesus is going to go to the cross. He's going to be beaten, spit on, mocked, whipped within an inch of his life, made to drag a wooden beam on his whipped back up a hill, and he's going to be nailed to it and left to die. Wow. So what is his joy? What is he looking forward to? Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God. So the reason that Jesus was able to do that was because he knew that on the other side of the cross was going to be joy. joy unspeakable, and millions and millions and millions and millions of joys. Millions of joys. People who are going to come back to the Lord, and people who are going to be forgiven of their sins and set free from their bondages and habits and released and healed and delivered and have an abundant life and be in relationship and in love with Jesus. Oh. So that is how he faced the greatest trial with joy. And yeah, there was agony in the garden. Yeah, there really was. But joy begins with a decision, and it ends in an expression. Joy begins with a decision. I'd rather that it began with a nice, happy feeling. Woo! No, it begins with a decision. And I'm finding that as I face hard times and trials, the Lord really pointed this out to me the other day when I was going through something. I realized I can be anxious and worried and go through it, or I cannot be anxious and worried and go through it. I'm going to go through it either way. I'm on the chute that says problem, so I'm going to go down it, but I can go through it and I can worry, or I can decide that I can trust God and it's going to be okay. And then suddenly I get this peace working in me, and then suddenly I start to feel joyful. Then suddenly something's happening in me that's good. It's not bad anymore. Then I can have joy even in the hard times. And you know what? If we have religion and we practice our faith and try to do what we should, but we have no joy, what is that worth? What is it worth if there's no joy? The world doesn't want that. The world doesn't want to see that. They need to see our joy. We have, at the school I'm at, we have a Wednesday release time. Release time is where they let the kids go off to a church, or they allow a ministry to come and take the kids and have some religious instruction. Well, the release time we have is taken by a church, and there's this lady. Her name is Pastor Meg. I love Pastor Meg. Well, they call it Wild Wednesday. And I thought, well, what is this going to be? And when I first got there, I'm about all the Christian things that are happening in the building. So I heard they were having this, and so I went over and met her and tell me about what you're doing. And she told me, and I thought, well, that sounds interesting. And then the kids came down. The 15, 20 kids came filtering in, and they sat in the auditorium, and they got on the buses and went away. And they did that for a while, and I would continually check in with her. And then one day she was like, Dave, you got to pray. We're giving the invitation this week for kids to get saved. And I was like, okay, I'll pray. And they had it, and then the next week she comes, and she hands me this list of these names of all these kids that got saved that day. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And then the next year they had it, suddenly they had 25, 30 kids in it. The next year, 40 kids. The next year they had 55. The last time we had it before COVID, there was like 70 kids in this club. And they would come down, and it would just be a buzz. And I said, I've got to go and see this thing. And so I went to my principal and I said, professional development opportunity. The kids are excited about this program. I just want to go and learn for my professional teaching career. And my principal's looking at me going, yeah. And he told me I could go. And I'm like, yes. And it was the Sunday that they were going to give the invitation for kids to get saved. Or not the Sunday, pardon me, the Wednesday. And so I get on the bus, and of course the buses, they had to call in extra buses now because they've got so many kids going. I think they were sending three buses over there, and the bus is just kind of rocking, and the kids are excited. We show up over there, they go in, they usher them in, and they get them all in the pews, and then the Pastor Meg gets up front, and then this music starts. I'm a wave walker, I'm dancing on water. When the devil tries to get me, I just pray harder. And they had all these scripted motions. In my darkest hour, got Holy Ghost power. And I'm sitting in the back trying to be the good observer because I'm a teacher. And all of a sudden, that music starts, and these kids leap out of their seats, and they're going, "I'm awake when my eyes are on you, Jesus." And they start dancing and singing up and through the aisles, and I'm looking at it, and I said, "What just happened?" And I couldn't believe it. And I'm trying to be a dutiful, good observer, but you know me, after a minute, all of a sudden, I'm up, I'm dancing with all these kids, and I'm like, "Oh God, I shouldn't be doing this." It was awesome, and they're looking at me, "Yeah, go, Mr. Williams." Oh, it was so much fun, and so much joy. And then they ended that, and the kids sat down, and they did a couple of club kind of things with a Bible verse competition, and then they showed a video. And then they wanted to break into small groups. And they would break it up into like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 kids in a group. And, I mean, mind you, they had 70 kids in the house. And so they were putting them everywhere. One group was over in a stairwell, and the other one was in the hallway over here, and the other ones, they're just sticking kids wherever they can. And but as kids began to filter out, Pastor Meg said, "All right, any of you kids that want to come up and you want to give your heart to Jesus and have a new life and have God do awesome things with you, I want you to come up and we'll pray with you to accept Jesus." And lots of the kids filtered out. And then a whole bunch of my students ran up and they wanted to get saved. And I'm sitting in the back there and I'm going, "Oh, Jesus, I'm saved." And I'm crying and I'm watching this happen. I just can't believe it. And then they went off and they had their meeting, and I ended up with one of the group. That's a whole nother story. We can't get into it. That was amazing. You want to find out the rest of the story, come see me sometime. I'll share. Oh, it's crazy. I probably shouldn't even share that on the mic. Oh, glory to God. It was wonderful. I can't tell you. I just can't tell you how wonderful it was. But then the kids then were able to come to our school. Pastor Meg, we have two awards ceremonies a year, mid-year awards ceremony and end-of-the-year ceremony. And in the mid-year, my principal was looking for things to kind of fill out the awards. And so I can't remember if I asked or if Pastor Meg asked, but he said, "Oh yeah, have the Wild Wednesday kids come and sing a song." So here we have this very formal awards ceremony. And at the end, he said, "The Wild Wednesday kids will come and present a song." And like half the auditorium empties out and goes up on the stage as this mass of kids. And they turn it on. "I'm a wave walker." And all these kids start to, and the parents are going like this. They're like, they're looking at, and I'm like, "Oh, glory to God." I mean, I'm in the back and I'm rejoicing. It was just awesome, awesome. Awesome. Incredible to see that happen. But Pastor Meg told me what it takes for that to happen. She said, "Oh yeah, it doesn't happen by itself. I have a staff of 30 people that work with me. We have to have people on those buses to act as bus monitors." I mean, it's like holding the top on a boiling pot, you know. And it's going to boil, okay, but just don't let the top fly off. And then they've got people who've got to help filter these kids into the aisles. They've got crowd control. They've got people who've got to be teachers of all these little groups all over the place. They've got runners that are running materials over to all these different groups that they pass out. They've got other people who run up and spend time with the kids who just got saved up on the stage. And they've got sound and lights and tech people. It's just a huge thing. And they were working like crazy. They were working hard. But they were willing to invest, do that hard work, and invest themselves in those kids because they knew at the end of it, they're going to get, "I'm a wave walker." You're going to have kids that are rejoicing. And look at the harvest that came out of that. Whoa. Jesus went to the cross for the joy of things like those kids. That's why he did it. You want some real joy? Go invest yourself in some kids. It is awesome. "Well, Pastor Dave, we don't have very many kids in our church." Well, invest yourself in the ones we got. He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. I don't know what that means. Maybe you just make a snack for them. Oh, my boys, they always knew which Sunday school teachers gave the best snacks. They come home and talk about it. But you know what? They go for the snacks and they come home with the gospel. That's okay. And those teachers invested themselves. They gave week after week after week. And my kids never have forgotten that. They have never forgotten that. Oh, invest yourself in those. And then there's joy. And you know, the world needs to see our joy. They don't need to see religion with no joy. They don't need more religiousness. They need to see transformation and see joy. And Jesus knew the other side of the cross was joy. And at the other side of every cross that we face and every trial that we face is joy. It's there if we'll persevere and if we'll decide. And that's why we can go through it with joy if we choose to. That's why we can go through all of the things that are hard. I have been through some horrible, horrible things in my life where I haven't always felt like rejoicing. But you know, joy wears a lot of faces. And sometimes our joy is in that steadfast perseverance and assurance, even in really tough times, that God's going to see us through. And then at the other side of it, glory to God. But that means we can go through it with joy if we choose to do it. Does the world need to see a joyful church? Does the world need to see an unjoyful church? People have no problem going to the football stadium and screaming their lungs out. But if you do it in church, you're a holy roller. And you know what? I'll be darned if I'm going to be called a holy roller and not get to roll. I want to roll, man. Well, I mean, not really roll, but I want to, woo! I want to rejoice and I want people to know that I love Jesus. I don't need to be quiet. I can rejoice. The scripture says, break forth into joy. Isaiah 52. Psalm 43:5, David talks to himself, why are you so downcast, O my soul? What's wrong with you? Hope in God. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. You know that word rejoice means to jump up and spin around in the Greek? Woo! Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Psalm 47. Psalm 154, praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Woo! And Psalm 101, shout joyfully unto God. Well, I thought about ending this service. I was going to play a song of rejoicing, and then my wife has this song that she showed me on a video, and I said, oh, this is just too good. And I know it's a little hard to sing with a song that you've never heard before. But I would invite you, if you want to stand, and just let these people's joy get on you. And if it stirs up in you, then you join in with their joy. And, oh, joy and rejoicing. We sing a lot of songs in church. Some of them are straight praise and worship, which I love and think should be our primary focus. But then sometimes we sing songs that are prayerful. Sometimes we sing songs that are a testimony to what God has done, and we thank Him with rejoicing. And that's what this song is. And it's a YouTube video on the Google icon in the bottom there, Adam. If you click on Google, you'll find it. The Chrome. Aha. That's it. Now just full screen it for me. And hit play, and away we go. And if you want to stand and join with us, you can. You don't have to. But I can't stand. I can't sit and watch this video. let her go. Oh, is there any wonder why Jesus went to the cross now? Oh, glory to God. It's for this. It's for that. Jesus knew the joy. Oh, praise God. Oh, we're going to have prayer time. If you came today and you have a need, if you have a need to accept Jesus as your Savior, we can introduce you to Him. If you come up for prayer today, He'll change your life. We'll pray for you. If you have a need in your body and you need healing, we'll pray for healing. We'll pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you've got a bondage that needs to be broken, you come for prayer today. We believe God to do it. And if not, Then we release you. God bless you. And may you, whoops, may you take the joy with you and spread it all around. Spread it all around. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you want prayer, come up now. Thank you, Jesus.